Hello and welcome to Engaging Internal Comms. This is episode 24. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with new ideas and innovations in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. So we're up to episode 24 of the show. Hope you've managed to listen to the episodes. If you're new to the show, welcome. It's great to have you. And you're welcome to go back and listen to some of the earlier episodes. They're pretty timeless. There's subject matters there that are not just of the moment. They are things that you can go back to and listen to. So definitely recommend that you do that. Next week, I have an interview with David Naylor, who is EVP at TooLogical. They're a global consultancy doing some amazing work, and David's going to be telling us all about the concept of motivational intelligence. We've probably all heard of emotional intelligence, but motivational intelligence, our ability to motivate others, and this is obviously particularly relevant to leaders within our organization. And as an internal communicator, employee engager, OD person, getting our leaders to understand that motivational shadow that they cast across the organization, I think is really important. So hopefully you'll be able to listen into that episode next week's episode 25 with David. It's a great interview. Really enjoyed speaking to David. Really, really, really great guy. I really got some fantastic ideas that I really sort of resonated with me. So if you've not already done so, jump across to our website, engagingic.com. You can join our mailing list and find out about episodes in advance. And you can also give us some feedback there if you have the time, which would be wonderful. We do have a Facebook group, which you can join via the website. There's a link on there, or you can just go across to Facebook and look for Engaging IC, and you should be able to find us that way. If you've not already done so, and you like the show and you want to kind of have it automatically on your phone or whatever you listen to your podcast every week, please subscribe. It really helps us to build our visibility as well. So please subscribe to the show, share it with anyone else as well who you think might benefit from it. It's a very diverse range of topics, but they're all kind of linked to this area of employee engagement, internal communications, organizational development, culture within our organization. So trying to keep a broad range of topics there to make it as interesting and as diverse as possible. So hopefully you'll enjoy the rest of today's show. I'm always interested in career paths and exploring how people have ended up in the jobs that they're in. But I'm also really interested in looking at career paths that illustrate an example where people are willing to learn, to not always see their progression in a linear fashion, and able to reflect and decide what they need to do in order to be able to get them towards their overall career vision. I'm conscious that there are people maybe listening to the show who are on different career paths, and some of you may be feeling as though you're in a career path at the moment which isn't necessarily going the way that you wanted to, or that you're a little bit stuck. And also you may be managing people who are in those positions as well. So I came across today's interviewee during my sort of standard search for interviewees, looking at interesting stories that people had to tell. And I wanted to speak to someone who had, I think, taken a very reflective and considered approach to their career, and ask them how they'd done that, and look what are some of the transferable learnings that our audience, that you, our listeners, and as I said, anybody who you might be managing could benefit from. So this might be an episode, if it's not directly applicable to your own career, that you might want to share with someone else. But I think anyone who's a people manager or interested in how people progress their careers will find this an interesting conversation. So for today's interview, I'm going to be speaking with Doreen Anwer. Doreen is the Senior Corporate Communications Manager at NEL, and we're going to find out in a minute from Doreen what NEL does. But Doreen has worked in a number of organizations such as the NHS and for Herefordshire Council. After moving to the UK from Pakistan, Doreen has moved through being a communications officer all the way into a senior IC role in just over 5 years. And this is a phenomenally successful career path. And that's what I wanted to explore with Doreen today. So hello, Doreen. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And whereabouts are you at the moment? And what's the weather like? More important, the question.
Oh, weather is just fine. I'm currently based in London. So it's all right.
It's all right. And NEL, I mentioned NEL, which is where you're working at the moment. Tell us a little bit about NEL. What does NEL do? How big is it? And how many people work there?
So NEL, because we say NEL, is a commissioning support unit. It is an NHS organization, and we provide expert support and advice to clinical commissioners. We deliver an extensive range of services, so anything from contracting to analytics, finance, IT, design, digital, and communications. You know, we cover all of the services. Currently, we have a workforce of around 1,500 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that. NEL. I should have done my research a bit better. So NEL. So NEL is a commission. So that's work. That's a commissioning service for the National Health Service in the UK. Yeah. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. Right. Fantastic. And your role involves both employee engagement and external corporate communications too. So could you tell us a little bit about that role, please, Doreen?
Yes, so I'm currently working in the corporate communications team, and although my role mainly covers internal communications, but as you know, external communications and employee engagement, everything goes hand in hand. So there's a bit of an overlap with external comms and employee engagement.
Yeah. Okay. And we can talk a little bit about that more later on. So anyway, I met you on LinkedIn, and I think the thing that struck me was your really impressive career progression. And I think I was from the conversation that we had subsequently, that's clearly because you're extremely talented. And I think what I wanted to do is just explore that, because we've got a lot of people who listen to the program who are at various different stages of their career. Either they're managing people who are early stages of their career, or they're working through a career plan or a career progression. I don't know whether career plans exist anymore, but they're working through a career progression. And I just thought it'd be really nice to just talk a little bit about your story, because it's very diverse, and you've got a lot of different things, and I think it'd just be a really nice thing to explore. So you started off in IC. Well, maybe we'll talk about a little bit about in a moment. You moved to the UK, but mm-hmm. you started off in some fairly junior roles in IC, and I use junior in a kind of not in any way sort of disparaging way. I think really key roles, but sort of you know working in those roles. So what were some of the challenges you faced when you moved into those sort of junior IC roles initially in your career?
My first role in internal comms was in Pakistan. I was working as an assistant manager. And actually, I had to step down from a senior manager position in a PR agency that I was working for this new role. So I think the main challenge, I would say, during my first job was that with internal comms, you tend to deal with a variety of issues. You have to understand several areas of the business. So from being an expert on the products or the services of your organization, you also have to have a good knowledge of, for example, HR issues or the business strategy. So anyone who works in internal comms need to understand everything about the business so we can communicate it to the audience in a concise manner. I think the one thing that I would say that really helped me overcome this challenge was a simple question that I always used to ask myself, and I still do that. And the question is, do I understand what is being said? Because if I don't understand, chances are that anyone else who's reading the comms will not either. So I kept asking this question and more questions until, you know, everything that I wanted to communicate made sense to me, and I was able to present the information with clarity.
I think that's a really important point, and I think that goes for internal comms. I think it goes for a lot of roles as well, doesn't it? Where it's very easy, particularly when you're new to an organization, just to nod your head and think, "Oh, I'll find out what that meant later on." But actually, you often forget to do that, and that's a kind of a little part of the jigsaw piece that you've got missing, and you'll very rarely get the chance to fill again. But also, I think you're right, particularly in an internals comms role, is to push back, because if you don't understand it, then it's a good high likelihood that your audience won't understand it as well. And you just mentioned there that you kind of had to step down a little bit. So just so I'm clear, was that while you were in Pakistan, or was that when you came from Pakistan to the UK that you had to feel as though you sort of went down a rung on the ladder, as it were?
So on both occasions, so this was because I was moving from a PR agency to a multinational, and I just thought, you know, if I needed more stability, and I wanted to work on the client side instead of being on the agency side where you don't have enough room for creativity, I had to, you know, step down the ladder.
Okay. And that, again, I think that's an important lesson for anyone who's in that, you know, particularly it can sometimes feel as though, you know, it is a downward, you're moving down the ladder when, you know, you're maybe working at a level where, you know, you could probably operate a lot higher. How did you kind of rationalize that, and how did you reconcile that in order? Because I think, again, I've seen people who kind of carry that around as a bit of a sort of an emotional scar and don't get over it. How did you kind of reconcile that and think, okay, I'm doing this for the right reasons, I'm doing this for a, you know, the longer term, longer game sort of thing?
Yeah, I think for me, the first time that I had to step down the ladder, my reasoning was, like I mentioned, that it was a multinational, it was a bigger organization. I had more room for creativity. I didn't need to seek the customer's permission to launch a campaign, for example. And for me, you know, that was really important. The second time when I moved to the UK, it was just, you know, something beyond my control. And I knew that I had to excel in my career. So I just took whatever opportunity came my way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And do you feel what you know that you were appropriately recognized, the skills that you'd built up in Pakistan? Did you feel as though they were appropriately recognized, or did you feel almost as though you were starting again?
I would say that I was kind of, you know, started again, because my first job was supporting marketing for a restaurant in Hereford, which was freelance work, which was like, you know, completely different to what I had been doing. And I don't think my experience was recognized at that point. But since, you know, a lot was changing in my personal life as well, I was a new mother in a new country. So I understand that perhaps, you know, I wasn't performing up to my own standards or what I'm capable of doing. I think later on, when I was able to concentrate more on my professional life, things did change for the better. And I believe it's always getting your foot in the door, which is the most difficult bit, or was for me at least. Once you are in, then all I needed to do was to be proactive and prove my worth.
Yeah, and I think that's a great lesson to take on board, I think, in any walk of life. So when I look at you, particularly within Nell, you know, you went from corporate communications officer, then to senior corporate communications officer, then to corporate communications manager, and then where you are now, senior corporate communications manager. And that's been a relatively short space of time. What are some of the skills that you've picked up along the way? I mean, I'm sure there are many, but what were some of the key kind of pivotal skills and capabilities that you've picked up as you've moved up those sort of levels? And you know, what would you kind of call out as being some of the more, you know, the ones that have had the kind of biggest sort of impact as you've moved up, you know, the whole ladder, as it were, rather than, you know, any particular stage?
So obviously in any communications field, be it internal communications, external comms, you need to have good writing skills. Then the ability to multitask, I would say that's really important, because with internal comms, it might be that you're dealing with multiple issues at the same time and launching multiple campaigns as well. Then creativity and empathy. I would say a lot of people underestimate how important empathy is in communications. It is important in any sort of communications because, you know, it can really help us internal comms professionals place ourselves in staff's shoes. So it can help us connect with our customers, our employees, who are the driving force behind any business, and even our competitors, because it enables us to problem solve better by seeing and appreciating all sides of an issue. So yes, ability to multitask and empathy, I would say, are the key things.
Yeah, we covered empathy in a recent episode, in episode 20, and I think it's a really not an undervalued skill, but it's one that sometimes I think gets overlooked. And I think, you know, it goes back to what you were saying right at the beginning, which is, you know, as an internal communicator, you need to know how the business works. You need to understand the metrics that are used and the way that success is evaluated. Because again, I guess what you're talking about there is developing that empathy, because if you're trying to get a message across to people, you need to recognize what's driving their behavior and what is likely to sustain and drive their behavior in the way you want it to go. So that empathy thing, I think, is key to being able to influence successfully, which I think is what we're all trying to do as internal communicators, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So any kind of recommendations then? So, or any kind of, not recommendations, any kind of challenges that sort of, I guess you'd probably argue that you found your natural level more quickly. So, you know, you stayed in the sort of the corporate communications officer roles relatively short period of time. And then you were into that management role, which I guess was probably where you'd been before you moved to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Did it pose any challenges that, you know, doing it that way, sort of almost starting not at the bottom again, but sort of moving your way up again and kind of taking that step back? Did that bring any challenges in terms of, I guess, skills that you needed to acquire or lessons that you took from that whole kind of step back and then move forward again into the more senior roles?
I think personally, resilience was one of the lessons that I learned, that no matter what happened and where, you know, I had to start again I reminded myself that I know my goal. It might not happen today, it might not happen tomorrow, it might not even happen in the next 5 years, but ultimately there's no reason that I can't achieve it. So that was, you know, my personal motivation. The other thing I would say, that when you step down the ladder, what really got to me was that I was at a level where I was making decisions, where I was, you know, signing off campaigns, deciding, you know, what should go ahead in the marketing material. So for me personally, you know, starting from the bottom again meant that I was looking up to a lot of other people who might not have had similar experiences or less experience as compared to me, but I didn't let that get to me, because I looked at it from a different perspective, that these people, they know the market. I am new in this country, and it might be that you know, comms is different. So I think I kept an open mind, and I just, you know, what needed to be done, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good tip. I mean, your organization now, obviously, you know, I'm making the assumption, but it looks like they've kind of, you know, clearly recognized your talent and given you opportunities moving forward. I mean, it you know, maybe not necessarily Nell, but in terms of people who have the ability to shape the culture of their organization where talent can thrive and grow. I mean, based on your experience, what are some of the things that need to be in place if you want to have a culture within your organization where, you know, people who can tell stories like yours, where your talent has shone through and you've been able to move up the organization, you know, not in a kind of self-seeking way, but in a way that gets you to where you're doing your best work for the organization? What sort of things do you think an organization needs to have in place to make sure that that can happen?
So I think with Nell, because it's an NHS organization that's based in London, that, you know, makes a lot of difference. NHS, as you know, as an employer, is committed to inclusion. 20% of the 1.3 million people that work in the health services are from a Black, Asian, and minority ethnic background. So while I'm not saying that, you know, it's picture perfect and there's no room for improvement, I still think there's more acceptance for people like myself with diverse backgrounds and experience. In addition to that, you know, NHS is ever changing. So as we know, with every change comes an opportunity. So for our organization, like, you know, other NHS organization, it has gone through multiple changes during the past few years. For me personally, I saw every change as an opportunity. Luckily, you know, job opportunities presented themselves, and I didn't shy away from grabbing them. I think in terms of culture, I would say that, yes, you know, organization can have policies and procedures in place, but at the end of the day, it's the people who make the culture. I have been lucky to have found a team lead who genuinely believes in our development as a team. So for me, you know, once I saw that there was someone who cared about my career progression and we shared the same work ethics, I thought it was sensible for me to invest my effort and commitment in this organization and get rewarded for it. What it has done for me as a manager, because I have seen a good manager, I would, you know, pass that on to my direct reports. I would take interest in their career progression. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great point. I mean, when I think about, when I used to manage people, which was a fairly long time ago, but it was always, I used to do it based around what people who'd had an influence on me and who I'd observed doing good things and being good managers for me. I always tried to try to kind of emulate that. And I think, yeah, if you've worked for a manager who's been really big on your helping you develop, you kind of it's something that sticks with you, doesn't it? Because it's very important. But I really like what you said there about, you know, kind of embracing change, because I think there's a lot of people who see change as a threat, but as I think as you've kind of repositioned it as each of those, you know, not in a kind of Machiavellian way, but in a way that provides an opportunity to do something different or to learn some new skills or to take on more responsibility. I think that's a really, really positive positive outlook. Yeah. So couple of questions then. So if, you know, we've got, as I said at the beginning, we've probably got lots of people listening to this and they come from a range of backgrounds, not just internal communications, but employee engagement, human resources, organizational development, etc. And it may be that either they or someone in their team is maybe, you know, kind of just they could operate, you know, they could take on more responsibility. They've got potential that's unrealized. So whether you were speaking to the manager who manages that person or that person themselves, what would you say to anyone who feels as though maybe, you know, they're asking, they lack a little bit of self-belief to push themselves forward, to maybe to want to progress, or they just maybe got a little bit of a confidence thing going on? What, you know, you've obviously kind of, whatever, you know, I don't know a great deal about you as a human being, but from what I can gather, you know, you've kind of put yourself out there and you've really kind of maybe gone outside of your comfort zone a little bit on occasion to get what you need and to keep yourself moving forward. What would you recommend to anyone in those sorts of positions?
So this is what I do personally. First of all, you need to have a goal. You need to know where you want to be. I don't believe in saying, you know, I want to be here in 3 years or 5 years. I don't put a timeline on my goals, but I know what I want to achieve in life. And for me, you know, achieving that in the next 3 years or in the next 5 years, that's not a concern as long as I get it. The second thing, because, you know, all of us go through periods where, you know, we lack self-belief. You know, our confidence is not where it should be. So when I am in that position where I'm doubting myself and my abilities, what I've done, I've created a folder in my inbox. And this is my go-to folder where, you know, whenever I'm feeling deflated, I just look at the emails. So in this folder, what you can do, or anyone, you know, who's going through the same thing, because we all have our moments of doubts, what you can do is file all the compliments or the words of appreciation that you receive from your colleagues. So anything from well done, thank you, you're a star, you're amazing, you have helped me out so much. Every little thing needs to go into this folder.
Yeah.
So, and you look at these emails whenever you are in doubt and remind yourself, oh, you know, I've done this before. This is something, you know, that others can, you know, see about me. So why am I not able to see this in myself right now? And it helps a lot. It's a very simple trick, but it's really useful. At least for me, it has been really useful to remind me of what I'm capable of doing.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice idea. And I think, you know, I think I've worked with lots of really senior people in all sorts of different organizations, and we all kind of have those days where we just, you know, question whether we're good enough and whether we're, you know, with imposter syndrome and all of that. And I think to have something that you can go back to and remind yourself that, hang on, I'm not I'm not faking it. I'm actually quite good at what I do, and I deserve that respect. I think it's really important. So it's a really nice little tip there. I like that. Yes, very practical as well and easy to do.
Yeah.
So that's been really, really helpful, really, really interesting, Doreen. I've taken a lot from that. So I think one of the things that struck me is your willingness to embrace change, your willingness to play the long game. And I'm not talking about playing games. I'm talking about being able to see the future, being able to see that sometimes we need to go sideways or maybe even look backwards a little bit, or we might perceive backwards in order to move forwards. But also to that whole thing around finding ways to remind yourself that what you're good at, what you're passionate about, what you enjoy, and to not let organizations and situations to sort of to deflect you from that path. So I think that's really been really, really helpful. So one of the things I always ask my interviewees, and I think you've already been warned about this, and I kind of know you're ready for it, is people who, you've got colleagues who work with you on a regular basis, and obviously we've only just really met recently through LinkedIn, so there's kind of loads of stuff I don't know about you, but something that even people who, close acquaintances and colleagues don't know about you, maybe it's something you've done in the past or something you do now. So over to you, Doreen. Tell us what your secret is, please.
Okay, I'm sure everyone listening to this will be so excited to know what the secret is, and I'm going to share the most boring secret in the world.
Go on.
But I have written for newspapers. This is just something that I've done in the past time. I have written for a newspaper that was affiliated with the New York Times in Pakistan. I was also the managing editor for a specialist marketing magazine for 3 years, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. So what was the name of the paper that was affiliated with the New York Times that you wrote for?
Express Tribune.
Okay. Ah, right. Well, okay. Well, they were very, very, very well written then. And the magazine that you mentioned as well, was that an internal magazine, was it, or external?
So it was brought out by the Marketing Association of Pakistan.
Yeah.
So all the marketeers in Pakistan, they were subscribed. It was a specialist subscription only magazine, and I was the managing editor for it for about 3 years, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. A lot of things that I've learned about marketing, especially, I've learned through that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. And I think, again, that's another sort of feeding back into some of the tips, I think, is those lateral opportunities to learn from, I think I'm a great believer in volunteering and again, not, necessarily just to put yourself out of your comfort zone, but to learn a new skill or to interact with an audience that you wouldn't normally interact with, I think is really valuable as well. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that. So, where can people find out? I mean, I'm going to push a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes, if that's okay, because if people want to contact you and speak to you directly. Have you got any other assets, or do you use social media at all, or anything that you'd like to point other people, to get in touch with you if they'd like to reach out?
Yes, absolutely. I'll share the link for the newspaper that I mentioned,
yes,
the blogs that I've written for them.
Yes.
And I am also on Twitter, so they can find me on Twitter.
Okay. And what's your handle? If you can remember what your Twitter handle is off the top of your head?
It's Confucius Doreen, but I'll share the link.
All right. Well, yeah, probably a good idea. I'll put that in the show notes as well. So we'll put your LinkedIn profile, your Twitter profile, and the link to the magazine that you were editing as well. So everybody can have a look at that. Well, look, that has been absolutely tremendous, Doreen. A really, really nice conversation, a really positive, upbeat conversation. And I think, for me, I think it's a huge congratulations for what you've achieved, but I know you've not finished. I think you've got lots more that you'd be probably wanting to do with your career and taking it forward. So I wish you all the best with that, and I'll be in a non sort of weird way, I'll be keeping tracks and seeing what you're up to, and maybe we'll get you back on the show at some point in the future as well.
Yes, would love to. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I had a lovely time talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
All right, thank you, Craig.
Thank you, bye-bye. Ideally, everyone in your organization would be on the same page. They'd be facing in the same direction and towards its vision and goals. However, in today's fast-moving world, as we all know, it can be really hard to get employees to see the big picture. For example, what are we aiming for? How are we going to get there? And how does my role contribute? When your employees don't see the big picture, they can make the wrong decisions. They may feel less of a sense of belonging, and they may not fully contribute towards your organization's objectives. So how do you consistently put large numbers of people in the picture in a way that helps them understand what your organization is trying to achieve, but also do that in an engaging and effective way? At the Big Picture People, we combine visualization, discussion, and interaction to fully engage your employees in the organization's big picture. We create light bulb moments for your employees, and we bring your values, your strategies, your objectives, and your change processes to life in a really rich, clear, and visual way. We also show your employees the complexity of the world that you're operating in and how their role contributes towards organizational priorities. So if you see the value of putting your people in the picture, head across to thebigpicturepeople.co.uk and book a free 30-minute consultation call via the link on our homepage. So thank you for listening to Engaging Internal Comms. Hope you found this episode useful. We'd love to get your feedback and thoughts about the show. So, and also any questions or ideas that you've got for things you'd like us to cover in future episodes. So you can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can get in touch with us via the contact form on our website, which is engagingic.com. Also, you'll be able to sign up for our mailing list there, and we'll send you relevant news about the show, new episodes, and also anything that we think you might be interested in when it comes to internal communications or employee engagement. If you like the show and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to it via your podcast service. And also you can subscribe to it via the links on our podcast page, which again is engagingic.com. If you know anyone else who might be interested in the show, please distribute it to them. Please let them know about it. We want to try and grow a community of people here who are contributing to the show, giving us new ideas for episodes and things that you'd like to cover in future. So thank you very much.